So
okay,
let's quickly go over Best Director nominees. There, of course, is Danny Boyle. We got Stephen Daldry for The Reader. David Fincher got one. Ron Howard, and then Van Sant for Milk, which is across the board what the best picture is.
I just saw Button and Slumdog, so I couldn't honestly say, but I would say Danny Boyle because I really would like his style.
Everyone wants Fincher to win one.
With the kind of
Sant will probably win. I'm guessing
Fincher's style with the stuff Fincher does is right. Like Boyle's style could maybe work in a Fincher type of movie, but Boyle and
Fincher just doesn't have actor control yet. I don't think he still hasn't.
But Boyle's style for the kinds of movies he makes that have got they've almost even. 28 Days Later still has this kind of lightness to it.
It's lightness, fun. But it's fun, and it's kinetic because it's totally gripping.
Yeah.
And it moves you from scene to scene, and never once when you're watching a Danny Boyle movie are you like, what's going to happen? What's going on here? You don't do that.
That's great. I haven't seen Sunshine to my discredit.
It sucks anyway. I've got it on my Netflix.
I mean, from what I have seen of Boyle, I've liked most of his stuff.
All right, we should handicap these as we go along. So we like a certain thing for Best Picture. What do you think will actually win Best Picture? I'm guessing it's going to be Slumdog or Milk.
That's not fun, though, doing what you think. I mean, what you think will win.
I know what I think is going to win, though. I mean, they don't pick what you hope, what you think should win. They pick what will win, which is...
Yeah, but it's not fun.
I got to wonder, you know...
The
three-prong angle is this. Either it's little Ronnie Howard and his Hollywood in ties and the hardcore leftist stuff, but Obama
it's
won.
It's not a hardcore leftist
Obama, really but from that take is what you're taking it on. Obama won, so I think that the Frost-Nixon thing just seems like sour grapes at this point, you know? So it probably won't, but it might. You know, and did it do well at Golden Globes? Because that's the foreign press, and they loved anything that's anti-American. So I'm sure it did.
It I don't know if it won anything. It was nominated for stuff across the board. I don't know if it won anything. Golden Globes are not as good an indicator as people think they are.
Oscars is really just hands down. It's easily going to be Penn for actor.
I'm going to go through the actors.
We'll get it in a second. I think Best Picture is probably going to be. Probably is going to be Milk because the gay issue is still big. If Prop 8 had passed,
you sound like Sean Hannity more and more.
I know, seriously.
It's the truth, though.
The gay cabal is moving deeper into the pink. I didn't know it was so political.
It doesn't even have to be overtly political.
That's the new thing.
When you're in power, you're still pushing your agendas.
Here's my problem with what you're saying here. You haven't seen Milk or Frost Nixon. Mm-hmm. Frost Nixon was very apolitical. It really was.
I'm sure. That's why Ron Howard had all this political talk about it.
The one political character
is
Sam Rockwell, and he's there just to, like I said, just to contrast Frost. He's pushing Frost the whole time, and Frost at one point freaks out and was like, "Get off my back!" And he's like, "Let's go out tonight. We're gonna celebrate." And one of them's like, "What are we celebrating? Like you're butchering these interviews." And he's like, "It's my birthday," and everyone stops, and he's like. And he leaves. Like this guy, it's the awesome thing because this guy doesn't really give a crap about politics at all. And not until Nixon personally challenges him and gives him and tells him, like, you know what, we're both, whichever one of us loses this thing is an utter loser in life, is basically what he says.
Yeah.
And at that point, he's like, oh my gosh, I got to do this. Like, that's awesome because that's what people are actually like. They don't care about politics.
Mm-hmm.
People don't. People are like, oh, you know what? Yeah, that's
no.
What happened there is they
make their issue personal. I understand
exactly. That's what makes.
Here's them what great. I'm saying. I think it's going to be Milk.
Okay, I agree. Okay, Best Director: Boyle, Daldry, Fincher, Howard, Sant. I'm guessing it's going to be Boyle or Van Sant.
I like.
Well, best Van Sant, okay, best probably. Best Picture usually indicates Best Director and Best.
Sometimes
and,
not in Spielberg's involved.
Yeah, poor Spielberg. I think it will be. Van Sant again.
Okay. Best Actor, we have Langella for Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt, Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler, and Richard Jenkins is the dark horse for The Visitor. Everyone said he was marvelous in it. I love him as the dad in Step Brothers.
He was great in that. He was really, really good in that. I like the part where, in the beginning, when, what's his name, who used to do John C., just be this, like, go-to, like, dramatic but kind of weird, odd character.
Kind of funny.
Kind of funny-looking type. But he was doing all the PT stuff and stuff. And now I kind of feel bad. I kind of miss the old days of him doing stuff like that because he just pretty much decided to be an Apatow hang-along. And I feel like he's better than that.
He does a lot of the improv stuff.
Yeah, I feel like he's better than that. But when he's talking about, like, You know, like, how, what if she comes over and she starts scamming on me, right. You know, and it's not, you know, and she needs the, this, and he's like, would you just shut the fuck up? he was good. He was good in Burn After Reading, too.
Yes,
he was probably the only
yeah.
character I didn't, like, immediately despise right. in that. Mm-hmm.
And then he gets his head bashed in by
Malkovich. That's right, that's true.
So, briefly, who do you think? Best actor, handicap?
I think Penn.
I'm going to guess, I'm going to bet my life on Penn. You?
Me?
Yeah. Handicap it. Go. Who's going to win?
I haven't even seen most of those movies.
Best actress. Kate Winslet, The Reader. Meryl Streep, Doubt. Melissa Leo, Frozen River. Never heard of either thing. Angelina Jolie for Changeling. And Hathaway, Anne Hathaway.
I'm going for Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep's a reliable choice.
That's a reliable choice. I'm going to say Anne Hathaway. For Rachel, that got a lot of buzz.
It's sort of
Rachel, I haven't seen any of those.
Just sort of your obligatory, it's your obligatory pretentious.
Nobody
like,
watches woman movies, right? Ian?
Wiggy movie. What?
Right.
I never said that.
A best supporting actor: Josh Brolin, Milk.
Heath Ledger's going to win.
Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Doubt. Heath Ledger, Dark Knight. Michael Shannon, Revolutionary Road. By the way, Luke said that guy is awesome in it. He said that he was by far the best actor in that movie.
I'm still trying to figure out what that movie's about.
It was based on a book.
But what's the critical point, though? Is it that he's gay and
No, it's two people who...
They're living at, like, the turn of the century.
Yeah,
it's the 50s.
It's
post-World War
II. Metaphorical end of the dead end of the revolutionary road of the forefathers of America who were revolutionary, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And literally. Anyway, Michael Shannon plays the... Nuthouse Neighbor or something like that. Nuthouse Neighbors get Oscar nods generally.
Good stuff. I think for that, what was it again?
You got Philip Seymour Hoffman, you got Heath Ledger, Josh Brolin, Robert Downey Jr., and then this other guy who's not going to win it.
Okay, I don't think Jr.'s going to get it for Tropic Thunder.
No.
I don't think that Philip Seymour Hoffman may be a weird dark horse because he's usually pretty reliable and stuff.
Hoffman is, that guy's almost a go-to now. I think Brolin is probably.
Brolin is
he
a.
He might be a front runner.
I'm thinking that. It all comes down to just the pity factor on
who
Ledger.
Who should win? Let's go. Who should win? Heath Ledger, of course.
Well, I haven't seen any other stuff. I think that, that Ledger.
I think the Dark Knight needs to win something.
It needs to win something.
Well, it'll get something ridiculous like Best Musical Edit or something.
It absolutely should get. When we watched it again recently, that has the best sound mixing and editing of any movie I've ever seen. It's just incredible.
Okay. Well,
like the
it'll probably get that for sure then.
Superb sound editing. Yes.
Okay.
Best supporting actress. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Best original screenplay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, fine.
Let's talk
about it. Oh, wait. It's going to be Penelope Cruz, right?
No. Amy Adams, Doubt. Penelope Cruz, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Viola Davis, Doubt. Taraji P. Henson from The Curious Case, she was very good. Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei.
They give supporting actress nods for nudity now?
No, I think it'll be Benjamin Button.
I would like to think that that might happen, but who knows?
I think it'll be that. What was her name, Taraji?
Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah. I saw her on Tavis's show, Tavis Smiley, you know?
Hey, Wally got nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah, Best Original, which is, and this, by the way, Best Original Screenplay
is always the most important.
They say that, people who know that this is the important one, because Best Picture is like a popularity contest. Yeah. This is what was the best script.
Best story, best original, not some rip-off of a book. Yes, exactly.
Wally, Happy Go Lucky, Frozen River, I still have never heard of that, In Bruges, and Milk.
Ooh.
Love to see Wally win that.
I would like to see
that.
That
would be awesome. Because that would really kind of...
Well, I mean, I had problems with the execution and with the feel, but what that story was doing was really a good story.
I think it's interesting. It's telling that In Bruges was nominated for that, because a lot of people...
No desire to go back to it. I watched through the first half. He was going to go on a date with this woman that he met at a movie when they were shooting a movie, when there was a midget. And it wasn't as funny as I was expecting it to be or as interesting.
Best adapted screenplay. Curious Case, Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, The Reader, Slumdog, and Doubt. Out of those, since Milk isn't in there, probably Slumdog.
Yeah, I think Slumdog.
Best animated feature, which is a joke. Bolt, Kung Fu Panda, Wall-E.
Two of those.
That's going to be Wall-E. It's always Pixar.
Best foreign language film. Waltz with Bashir is getting a lot of buzz.
That's also animated, right?
Yeah.
But not nominated for animated?
Nobody cares. No.
That's problematic.
Best
then.
Animated short, who cares? Art direction.
See it, but I don't
know. Art direction, Changeling, Curious Case, Dark Knight, Duchess, Revolutionary Road. That's interesting because I think the two powerhouses there are Curious Case and Dark Knight, of course. Yeah. But they're movies on looks.
Here's the thing. Dark Knight is just us for the most part, other than the costume. Curious Case and Revolutionary Road is
a different
era, and so there's more
Curious
to
Case
that.
Is overtly direction based.
So I think I would give it to Curious Case.
Okay, here's one for you, Ian. Best Cinematography: Changeling, Tom Stern; Curious Case, Claudio Miranda; The Dark Knight, Wally Pfister; The Reader, two people. Oh, Roger Deakins is one of them. He always wins every year. Slumdog, Anthony Dodd Mantle.
Well, you're reading the names of the guys and the movies?
Yeah, because they actually matter.
I know the names matter, but I'm just curious.
In this case, they matter. Yeah. Changeling, Curious Case, Dark Knight, Reader, Slumdog.
Wait, you said Wally at one point, or you were just reading a guy's name?
Wally Pfister.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was like, there's a movie called Pfister? Nominated for cinematography.
Pfister.
Cinematography?
Yeah, Dark Knight.
Oh, God. Did you see that clip? That might have been on The Soup, too, where somebody said something about Michelle and Barack Obama. And they've even been known to fist, you know, and they met the fist bump. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, they did one thing on The Soup where, and it was, they cut it right afterwards, so you didn't know if it was real or not. But Lisa Rinna was like, Gerard Butler was talking to someone on the red carpet for the Golden Globes. And it was like Joey Fatone. He's like, wow. All right, that was Gerard Butler. He looked really handsome, good looking man.
Yeah.
And it cuts back to Lisa Rinna, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm absolutely dripping." And then they cut away.
Yeah, exactly.
and Joel McHale's just like, "Ah!" But like, you don't know if she was going to say something else or not. They
that's
just
the
cut
trick.
Immediately
that's
when
the
she
trick.
Says,
that's
"I'm absolutely
trick.
Dripping."
Okay, for cinematography, I think Dark Knight, Slumdog on there.
Slumdog's on there. Dark Knight was incredible.
Yes, but once again, I love the fact that it looked like Heat, and that's an awesome type of cinematography. But it's
think of the end of the movie.
Not
think of the
fun
last,
to look at.
Think of the last shot of the film. Think of the way it looked in that scene where they're chasing the truck through the city.
That's just neo noir. It's like
amazing,
really
though.
Sleek.
The lighting, the look.
I agree. You don't have to. But I feel like what you got with something like Slumdog was just so much stuff going on. So much lighting had to be choices and locations where they're at that they had to pick and choose and how they're going to feature this and how they're going to make that color pop, the blue on the roofs of the slums and things. And
the thing is, those are already colored that way.
Yeah, I know, but you got to use the right stock and you got to use
they're
the right lens.
All
things.
They have is color.
I know, exactly.
That's all they have. To
I want to give it to Slumdog.
Okay, you that, want to, but what's going
to
win?
No, I'm going to give it to Slumdog.
Okay.
And that will win, probably.
Out of all those,
Dark Knight.
So you two are both Dark Knight?
I think that Curious Case will win it. I think the Dark Knight should, but I think Curious Case will win.
Yeah, Curious, that may happen.
Costume design doesn't really matter. Documentary doesn't matter. It should, but it doesn't. Documentary short matters even less. Best film editing. Curious Case, Dark Knight, Frost Nixon, Milk, Slumdog. I think Slumdog probably should get it. I don't know if it's going to.
Well, there's Curious Case. And Slumdog.
It should.
Slumdog was sleek and quick.
Was incredible. Yeah.
And well-paced.
Best live-action short. Blaine, best film editing?
Oh, right. Slumdog. Great.
Okay. Best makeup. Here we go. Curious Case. The Dark Knight. Hellboy 2. You got an Oscar nod, Hellboy.
I never saw it.
There's no makeup.
Is there a lot of practical effects?
What do you mean there's no makeup in it?
It's all digital.
Yeah,
it's
all digital. No, he's got a point, though. A lot of it is, though. And it was Guillermo working with just practical stuff in Hellboy 2?
Is it
mostly CG?
Dude, remember the cantina?
It was all practical.
The Hellboy cantina?
If it's all practical stuff, then he deserves
it. It's all practical stuff. It's
Hellboy 2, then, yeah.
Remember the cantina place that they went?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Were the modal nodes there playing in the background?
Yeah.
Nice. I gotta see it then.
Okay. Best original score. I have a huge problem with this because The Dark Knights was not included.
Because of the two people?
Because there was actually six people who were involved in the score.
Yeah.
Two major were named.
Scores have been so generic lately that I honestly don't care.
It was so just like... furious.
Yeah, it had like an intensity to it.
Or Wally.
Best original score. Curious Case... Defiance, Milk, Slumdog, Wall-E.
I think I'll give it to maybe give it to Wall-E, but I don't know.
You haven't seen Milk. You know who did it? Danny Elfman.
Really?
Yeah.
No. That's
I like
weird.
Slumdog or Wall-E.
Slumdog used a lot of songs.
I didn't
notice
it.
I didn't pick a lot of
the score.
I think
I just liked it because it was also like festive. And,
Curious know, Cases was kind of generic, I felt.
Yeah.
Actually, Defiances was really decent. But it, the movie, I don't know, it wasn't memorable.
I think I like Wally's.
I think I'm going to give it, because just those couple of moments of like the real, like, just that first sequence.
Because everything in that movie was explained through song, pretty much. Song and images. And
dark,
like,
exactly.
This was the weird one, and this one has caused a lot of contention for people. Best original song, the Bruce Springsteen song from The Wrestler was not included. Everyone thought that was a beautiful, stirring, touching
Give me an Oscar.
Wait, there's two songs.
Two songs from Slumdog were nominated out of the three slots.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty fun.
Plus Down to Earth from Wally, which is a Peter Gabriel song.
Yeah.
Best sound editing, Dark Knight.
Well, what were the songs from?
Jai Ho and Osaya.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were actually written by the person who did the score.
I like that Peter Gabriel song for Wally. I do.
Osaya is MIA.
No, and well, she did two songs on it. The one that played right after Paper Planes was also
Songs. Yeah, I could tell that was her.
No,
I like the Peter Gabriel one. Because it fits in those kinds of movies, and
people will look at it and they'll say, you know what, a white person wrote this song, let's go with that.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, no, I just thought that it fit with the 2D anime. Maybe I'm just in love with that 2D animation at the end, because it perfectly explains them sort of rebuilding, and I liked it. It made me well up a little bit.
Like,
no, it didn't do that.
Best sound editing,
I did
Dark
Knight,
Iron Man, Slumdog, Wall-E, and Wanted.
I think, like I said,
Dark Knight absolutely should, and I think they'd be kind of stupid if it didn't win that. Though, every time they slip in one of the Best Picture nominees into any of these technical ones, they end up giving it to that Slumdog.
Sometimes it's kind of ridiculous.
Which is I don't know. I mean, it had great sound editing, but...
Well, I'm tough with sound editing. I couldn't really... I would have to go with Dark Knight because it's
Dark
bigger.
Dark Knight being something that depends on atmosphere.
Yeah. I give it with Dark Knight.
Okay, Best Sound Mixing. Which is almost the same thing as best
sound
editing.
Is that sound design, or do they have a sound design category?
That counts as sound design.
Okay, yeah. Then I would almost always give it to something Pixar.
Okay.
Because
Wall-E.
They've got more control, and they're definitely, every single thing is sound design.
Wall-E, Wanted, Slumdog, Dark Knight, Curious Case, same thing. Okay, here we go. Best visual effects. Iron Man, Dark Knight, Curious Case.
Visual effects?
Yeah.
What was it again?
Curious Case, Dark Knight, Iron Man.
That's weird, because two of those didn't have a lot of astounding visual effects. I mean... The special effects in The Dark Knight, they blew up a hospital.
Right.
That was awesome. I love the fact that there weren't a lot of crappy visual effects in it.
They were mostly special
Mostly special. I think I'd go with Iron Man, because they were like in his shop.
You
and that stuff would be hard to pull off.
Iron Man stuff looked kind of fake at times, which didn't matter in the story.
Well, yeah, but it was all in his shop. And that was like...
He went around and flew around the world and stuff.
I know, but I don't know. I thought that...
Doves landed on his hands.
Yes, I remember the doves. Yeah. Yes.
I would say The Curious Case has to get that.
You know what, it actually deserves it, because the visual effects didn't exist till like 10 minutes before they started making it,
right,
in order to actually
do that.
So it's hands down, it's Benjamin
Who
Button.
Do you think's going to win the Gene Herschel Humanitarian Award?
The Humanitarian Award?
Who's going to win it? Because I know, they already gave it to him.
Oh my
Jerry
God.
Lewis.
Jerry Lewis.
Really? Pretty lady. Okay, I got to take
films
a
with multiple nominations.
Curious
Case.
We'll go over this. We'll go over this with Blaine here. So films with multiple nominations are Curious Case with 13, Slumdog with 10, Dark Knight and Milk with 8 apiece, Wall-E with 6, Doubt, Frost, Nixon, The Reader with 5, Changeling, Revolutionary Road 3, Bunch of Boring Crap with 2. It's interesting that The Curious Case got so many nominations.
I know,
so
it's bullshit.
Because it wasn't a great film.
It wasn't. It was like, I mean, I was more, I liked it more, like, when I, like, right after I saw it, than I, like...
Then you do
but,
now.
Yeah, then, like, it had time to sink in, like, and I saw all these videos about it being compared to Forrest Gump, and I was like, God damn it.
Well, I just think that it was really visually great, and it just felt really empty, so I don't know how you consider that a great film.
It's true, and I don't know how you can consider Brad Pitt... For best actor.
I don't either.
Because, like, his face was digital the whole time.
Yeah, basically, he was a lot.
All he did was talk like
a
monotone.
But he also, he monotone answered things, and then he also, he stared at people when they said things and kind of went,
Right.
So, yeah, his is an interesting inclusion, but, yeah, Curious
Case.
Well,
he is Brad Pitt.
Curious Case with 13 nominations, I think a little overboard.
Yeah. Slumdog got
the
most. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, the most, yeah.
Well, a lot of those are technical ones.
I mean, that's the thing, is it combined the technical with the fact that it also got director, you know...
Picture.
Best actor, Best Supporting Actress.
So The Dark Knight got 8? That's not that bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It's just the
fact that it just didn't get a major one.
It got snubbed on Direction, Best Picture, and Score, which is stupid. I mean, it would have had 11 if that was the case.
I feel like the biggest snub for Dark Knight was director, because honestly, when you're working with something that big that's all real deal stuff, then, you know, that's tough to do.
Right. I mean, James Cameron was nominated for director for Titanic.
And T2, right?
And
T2. And those are the same comparable. I mean, not to mention the
totally
fact
comparable.
That it's... What was it? Was it a 2-year or a 3-year between the two? It's 2 years between... It's 3 years between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, right?
Was it three?
If even.
It was a long time.
It was... Not that... No, no a long time. You know how hard it is to make a
it
film?
Was two.
And no, in between dude. That, he made a period piece that was kick-ass and huge.
Yeah.
Like, The Prestige.
How long was...
You're talking about a guy that either didn't sleep or really is, like, a stellar director.
I think the fact was that it started with a magnificent script. The script is near pitch.
Yeah, but I just mean, like, as... I mean, like... Because I've done enough work in movies that I can understand... I can see what it would take from a human being to be able to direct The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
To have the control.
Well, if you watch...
Especially considering how much time there was between that and Prestige and the first one. There was not a lot of time.
You've watched
he
the making
a lot
of
break.
The Lord of the Rings movies, right?
I've watched parts of those. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's the same thing with...
But that's the funny thing is that...
He wasn't that there half the time.
Not just that, but he shows the attitude that's needed for someone on... $350 million project of three movies, which is
otherwise
he's constantly either laying down eating something, and they're like, "Oh, we got this terrible problem." He's like, well, "What are you going to do about it?" Like, you know, you better fix it. And he's like, you know, or it's him standing there like with a parka, and he's like, "Oh, it's cold," and they're like, "Oh, the set's burning down." And he's like, "Oh man," like he just like it was almost like he didn't care while he was there.
And then there was a lot of second unit stuff,
right?
I know, but still, it's huge.
I remember watching. I've seen a couple of like smaller films being shot. I saw this one in L.A. It was one time when it was called The Piano Player or something like that. The Piano Player. And the director was there and he was in it, but it was a smaller thing. And then I watched for a while when they were shooting The Majestic.
Mm-hmm. And Darabont.
Darabont was sitting in a tent like 200 feet away,
Video
watching
village.
Something. And the people were bustling out there to shoot a shot of something, and the AD was going just completely crazy.
Yeah,
and
that's the way it
is. And there was 1,000 people everywhere. And I saw Darabont in the tent, and his feet were up on something. And he was just kind of like sitting there like that. And every once in a while, like reach for a mug and like turn to someone next to him, and be like, and they both go, and like that was what he was doing as the director.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, at that point, that's kind of how that flow works, but still. I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive. It's probably the case. I guess I'm putting myself into that. I know that I would be...
You're projecting. Because you've lived the AD thing. You know what that takes.
And,
you know the hectic bustle.
And I would... The thing is, if I were a director, I would still probably be doing that, and it would kill me.
It would kill you. That's the thing is, I think that it takes a certain type of person and personality to be a director, because you have to be able to...
Leave it alone.
And
I would be able to, and I'm going to direct sometime.
When you leave the...
I got it. It's going to be fun.
When you leave the set at night, and you get your 5 hours of sleep, if that, then
you
just leave it up. You know, you leave it. You go home.
Oh, well, no, you don't totally do that.
Yeah.
You have to. You just don't sleep on your right side, because that way you'll sleep too comfortably and you won't be able to wake up.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a metaphor. No, it means what it means.
So you know what I'm most excited about these Oscars is that Hugh Jackman's going to be hosting.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that he takes off his shirt.
He's going to.
Because he goes the Statham way, and he doesn't shave his chest and stuff, you know? He shows that a real man is just caked in hair.
He's a Wolverine.
Yeah. Is caked in hair. Robin Williams is disgusting. The guy is sick.
Yes.
I like that, like, if he's wearing a t-shirt whose neck is a little too wide, there's like...
Her suit.
It's like werewolf hands coming out the back. Like, oh, that's great. And speaking of werewolf hands, I watched, as I said, Underworld Rise of the Lycans.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why this movie...
Should we cut under and do Underworld Rise of the Lycans?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, well, we still want to talk about the Oscar question, the question
okay,
of what
yeah,
makes
let's
a
do
film
that.
Good.
Well, really, really briefly, then. Let me choose Underworld to throw it under the bus.
Minutes of... Okay,
so
this
so
is
here,
a good
here's
question.
My, here's my 17-second review of Underworld. The major problem out of many of this film is that they told this whole story in the first two movies. And then they went ahead and made the movie anyway.
And it's a prequel, so it's anticlimactic
already. It's not just that it's a prequel. They told this whole backstory in the first two movies.
They just told the...
Including how it ended.
And then they decided to show it.
And then they shot the movie anyway.
To show it.
No, to they show told it. It.
That's like something you'd release on DVD.
It is. It's, it made $20 million opening weekend. It lost to Paul Blart Mall Cop, though, which really the is number one to
be zero. We're going to have to kill this, and I definitely want
you,
to do
you have to do that every time reflexively, don't you?
Paul Blart. I don't know why I do
I know.
That.
You know, you, yeah, do I, this I in a row, like this, like this. Yeah. Yeah. You're mine.
You're mine, no.
You call people Bender a lot?
Yes, I do. All
right.
So I go on Benders a lot. Okay, so the big question of the hour, or the big philosophical question that people forget to ask, but my dad thought to ask me a couple weeks ago, was... why is the best picture or the best movie of the year, is basically how he put it. He didn't phrase it in terms of Oscar terminology. He's like, why is it not just the movie that makes the most money that year? Democratic system. And I tried to, you know, I tried to wrap my head around...
Because people are stupid?
No, I
people
mean...
People are sheep?
Because, sure, I could do that.
Well, if that was true, then Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Right? No, possibly. Or Beverly Hills Chihuahua, right?
You know, no, sometimes no. It works. Did you point out Titanic to him?
I pointed out older films like Gone with the Wind and stuff, you know, that it used to be more representative of what the masses actually felt. And instead of these like indie things that people haven't even heard of and whatnot, I talked about distribution issues. I used an analogy of food, and that one he blew away real quick, and he did correctly. And this is where it kind of got me thinking. You know, I said, like, okay, a hamburger is probably my favorite food ever. You know, generally, I go to any restaurant, I'm just going to get a hamburger.
It's not magnificent.
But you know, it's not the same as a piece of prime rib. Right. And he's like, yeah, well... If prime rib and hamburger cost the same, you'd be a fucking retard if you didn't get prime rib every time. Right. You know, very confrontational. That's how he was. You know, it was Saturday afternoon. Had a couple beers in him.
Did you pick you up by your lapels when he said
he was,
that?
He was looking.
Did he slam you?
He was,
into the
he was look, looking. Looking to be a little angry. He's like
a
me.
Loving father.
He's like me. Yeah. Exactly.
Was he jumping off a train as he was telling
he
you
was.
This?
Can
we hurry this conversation? I've got to leave.
So it is an interesting question. I mean, that I brought up basically, well, look, it's bullshit. It's a plurality. It's an internal system of people that are part of this academy, and they do it for themselves, basically. It's the way that they regulate things.
I don't quite get the question, though, because why is the best necessarily the one that makes the most money?
Because as a democratic system...
People who go to watch movies don't know it's good or not.
If you make movies,
most people don't.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you kind of went with that sort of as a foregone assumption, is that people would either... know what they're doing, you know, because they're paying attention or not, you know, but it's just this whole idea that, I mean, really, when you see a film, it is a democratic process. You pay money to go, and I mean, even our professor at HSU said that, you know, the first 20 minutes, you can walk out. Mm-hmm. You can. That's like a legal thing, apparently, and get your money back, and then that doesn't count as being
after,
a great movie.
After The Spirit, Kristen complained about it, and they gave us money for it.
Oh, really?
Are you serious?
She went to a girl up there, and she was like, how was it? She's like, it was awful! And she's like, oh, okay. And she, like, wrote up two things. She's like, here you go. She's like, oh, cool.
No, maybe that's a girl-to-girl thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it was her friend.
Mm.
Oh, well. I didn't tell you that part. No. Still, it was sense. Awful. But no, I mean, I get the idea, but the thing is, that's the People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the Pro Bowl.
And maybe that's the one that really counts.
It doesn't, though, because they're like... You know, oh, The Cat in the Hat was awesome.
Yeah, but that's the world. You know what I mean?
But the movie sucks.
And that's the interesting incongruity. Congruency.
Here's the thing.
Because here's the thing.
You just said the word incongruency.
Yeah.
97% of the population can't say that word, and they don't know what it means.
I didn't at first.
So
I tried again.
You are one of the 3% that... are the type of person that will actually end up voting for any award one day because you're going to be some member of some academy.
On the
because
MCATs,
you were
I scored in the top
guy.
3% of the writing part. So yes,
there you go.
In the MCATs,
way to jerk your own chain.
I'm the only one that's been doing it lately, and it's not good.
Don't
I
do
need,
it too much.
I need someone. Like, actually, I think for medical reasons, I need to have someone sleep with me for about 6 weeks.
Oh, that'd be great.
And, you know, no, I mean, medically.
Are you paying well?
No, because, like, I think I'm having night terrors that are affecting my sleep quality, and so someone needs to kind of verify.
Don't you know if you're having night terrors?
No, I don't. I kind of do, but maybe I don't. No, like
wouldn't
I'm kind of
terrified?
Half awake
Dude,
and half
tape
asleep.
Yourself.
I could.
Just tape yourself.
But then I wouldn't
turn this thing on.
But then I wouldn't be having sex, too.
Oh my god.
That would affect the variable, so I couldn't do
that's
that.
That's going to tear the fabric of space time. I'm sure. Considering you'd have to.
Yeah.
Have you ever taped yourself sleeping?
I did one time just to see if I was actually snoring.
Yeah, but how does that even work? You got a tape that will maybe do 2 hours, and how often do you
get the long play stuff?
Long play on a on a tape on a camera?
Video camera, yeah. 8 hours.
I don't even know about that.
SLP.
SLP, yeah.
Super long play.
That, I know what that is. I used to tape X-Files off FX that way. I taped like the first 6 seasons that way.
Do something like that. Do something like that. And then if you see yourself scream and wake up and start
here's the thing. It's like I was in a state of problems. I was like half awake, half asleep, dreaming that I was walking down a dark hall this morning. Okay. And like I bumped into something in the hall, and then like I was aware that my leg like singed. Like
and then you
life.
Woke up.
And then I kind of half woke
dude,
up.
Dude, if there's anything interesting, you can cut out all the balloon stuff and like upload it to YouTube.
That would be awesome.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
I'd watch it. Well, the thing I'd watch you sleep.
I'd have to set it to night. I have to get a camera, and then I have to set it to
night. You have cameras, night, right?
You know what, though? If somebody was there watching you sleep, you might be so comforted. Yeah. Yeah. Comforted by that.
That was the thing I was thinking about.
Really disturbed by it that you wouldn't act normally.
No,
because
I think
what if you looked over and Blaine was sitting there smoking a cigarette in the dark in a dark corner? Uh-huh. You just saw the cigarette,
the cherry, his hot cherry, just back and forth, and then he starts telling me stories about you know.
You want Blaine's hot cherry so bad?
No, that's terrible. Anyway, that was just a funny anecdote. I thought I'd throw
that.
Yeah,
that was
pretty
cool.
I think I'm actually
going to
do that.
Funny.
I know that's true too.
No, not on me.
No, not on me. Yeah,
how long you?
No, I mean, my dad has it.
But, no, I mean, it's just an interesting question about, here's the other thing, is that sometimes the ostriches get so, insulary that they, no one in the, you know, you do your jaywalking, you do your whatever, and, like, 99% of the population hasn't heard of any of the movies that are. I mean, in this case, you got a couple that are big. You got Benjamin Button that a lot of people probably saw and they did pretty well.
This is based on the idea of the Electoral College.
Yeah.
In that, no, seriously, that's exactly what it is. Like, what you have here, people are those who purport to be the elite of this field.
Mm-hmm.
They are all completely people who were directors, producers, writers, or actors.
Yeah.
And mostly all like...
It's all industry. It's an industry awards show.
And they're older, so they've been in the business for a while. So like that's most of the Academy right there. So they are the elite, and they're people who actually care about this stuff. They're not critics, which is saying one thing, which is telling. They are not critics. They are people who think they're better and more important than critics. Critics' Choice Awards generally get these things almost, you know. I mean, critics are very honest about things, and I think that.
Wait, yeah. What's a big critics?
The New York and L.A. Critics Society Awards are big. Yeah, like those are really big. There's
because
a couple of others.
That would be more of a Electoral College thing because they're like representative.
He's right. Right. Exactly. But what I'm saying is these are the people in these are like royalty basically who's deciding these things, and that's.
It's like bias, though, because, you know...
It totally is. And it's not just bias so much as the fact that what affects these people is the fact that they get these things... And Luke was talking about this last night, and it infuriates him, that screeners get sent to the Academy. And he was like, get off your lazy ass and go to a theater and watch the movie. You can't watch Slumdog on a TV. What if they're watching it in a trailer? Like with a TV this big on a black and white TV, they're like, oh, that movie sucked, you know? Like
you're missing the full effect.
To watch it on a 3-story tall, you know, screen.
With an audience.
With an audience. You
and
have to
there is
to,
that,
to
that's
get,
the insulary side is that these people get their screeners and they
you know, they got screeners of The Dark Knight.
And they got friends.
You know that angers me. That they got screeners of The Dark Knight and something like The Reader, which is made to not look that impressive on the big screen, so it can just be easily be watching at the same impression off the small screen, and they're watching that. They're comparing that to The Dark Knight. Like, which one of these maybe
screeners?
The people who make the movies, the studios, make DVDs well before they come out.
Don't act like you don't know what a screen is.
No. I don't. I thought people went to the theater.
All the studios make these screeners that say for your consideration,
for the critics and everything,
and they say all the things they hope they get nominated for. And they send them to the Academy. And
it's all lobbying. You lobby for. It's like what I did for the podcast. You submit yourself and you lobby
from every studio for all the movies they hope get nominated. And you send them to the Academy. And the Academy spends months. You know, they get home from whatever they do at night, and they're like, "Oh, I'm going to watch a couple of these screeners tonight." And they look and they go, oh, you know, Richard Jenkins was good in The Visitor. Or, yeah, I guess I'll. And then they have these ballots. They write up nominations. And then after those go in, they send the ballots all back with all the nominees that have been selected, and they have to pick one.
Or like Congress or something. They don't even watch the screeners, and they just kind of ask their friends, or they kind of just guess, like we just did, honestly.
Whoever
like,
speaks.
If I remember the Academy,
speaks
they,
the best about
they don't read the bill, but they'll
no, no, yeah, they don't do a lot. These people have
they
jobs.
They talk to somebody's aide, and he's like, I read the bill. It's great. Yeah, okay, all right.
There you go, yeah. It's and then you know they're so it's horribly nepotistic the Academy, and everything so else.
The thing there is the Academy is flawed, but no one is claiming that it's doing something other than what it does.
That's
so
right.
That's why I don't think
I think that, I think that I think people forget that though. I think that the mass population actually tunes in and thinks that that's an important way. Of
yeah, that's the thing. Like and because it's got like
it's
prestige.
It's a showmanship thing, and it's just
it's
a pageant.
It's the granddaddy,
it's bullshit.
But in reality, it's just one of many.
I think he was just in one of those moods where he wanted me to admit that something that I'm kind of part of.
Some
is
years it happens. Some years it happens. I mean, you could have pointed out Titanic to him, and like you said, the old ones. You know, and it really does happen.
I pointed
sometimes.
Out the old ones because that's really the only way you can get someone like that to.
So, yeah,
sort of
it
understand
all boils down to people being retarded. You know, and they don't really care.
And there's different type of retardation. You know?
Just like,
it's like I said, people voting for Cat in the Hat, and the Oscars is people voting for Reader, which was a decent film. I don't think anything close to a great film.
No.
Just, you know, it just wasn't. It wasn't entertaining.
I think that the Iron Man would be better than that movie.
Probably, but I mean,
I mean, like in terms of enjoyability,
there's still there's always there's stigma against things that are too
worth,
fun.
Really.
Yeah, exactly. There's stigma against things that are too fun. Artistic value has to be struggle to a degree. The Reader.
That's what's so great about these new Pixar films, like Ratatouille and all that stuff, like, is that they really have societal and artistic worth and morals
and
values and stuff in them. Plus, they're fun, entertaining, good,
I mean,
great looking things.
Ratatouille, like, to me, is still this, like,
I didn't watch Ratatouille, but
such,
I heard it was,
such,
like, awesome.
It's such a top notch film, and I mean, I think I'm going to kind of spoil something, but about the critic, because, but you know what I mean? Like, the way that they expressed how the critic realized and thought about food and judged food and how he realized that this dish that was prepared for him was something. So the way that they did that visually was just so like authentic and top notch. I mean, it's like, well, of course, you know, like there you go. That was how he would think about it. And that would be how you would assess things. Because ultimately that's how people are. Cause it was very humanizing to him.
Right.
And I mean, when people come up with good solutions to problems, I mean, that's what I in my limited involvement in the movie industry, it's and understanding some screenplays and stuff work. It's all about problem solving, like it is with so many other things. And when you see clever ways for problems to be solved, it's great. Blaine, third season of Battlestar Galactica. You know they've got to rescue the guys from Caprica 2 or whatever it's called, right? New Caprica. And it's like, okay, how are they going to do that? They got one ship versus a bunch. And
nah,
it's like,
dude, they got two ships.
Well, yeah, but they only had one at the time.
Oh, true.
And it's like, okay, they're going to have to do some kick-ass blow in there and do something, but what are they really going to be? How
dude,
they,
that was badass.
How are they going to get in there? And then
oh,
when
that was
just,
like one of the best scenes.
Exactly. They're like, they're just the obvious solution. They're just going to jump into the atmosphere and drop into it. And
great.
That was awesome. And so that's really why I watch the cartoons I watch. That's why I watch everything. That's why the value of something being new is so important to me. And I hate to spoil it. Because it's all about, like, how did someone choose to solve a problem in a way that just blows me away? And when you get that in a couple of good movies, you get that in The Dark Knight a couple times,
totally,
and, you know? Yeah. And it's not always this extreme, like, oh, yes, awesome moment. It's sometimes it's like he looks at the guy that he knows who he
is.
I just
like to be awed by something I'm watching. That's why I liked Gone Baby Gone, because I was in awe at the ending.
No, definitely.
You know?
It affects you. If it affects you, then it's got some value to it. And
I can watch something that I think is really great and not, and like, on, I gotta be honest, you know, I've seen Goodfellas and stuff like that, and I watch it, and it's this everyone's favorite thing, it's supposed to be a great thing, and
it's fun, but
it doesn't ever, like, awe you. It does
no,
what
I'm the same way with, like,
you
know, Raging Bull or something, you know, which is Alex's favorite movie.
I still haven't seen that. It's everyone's favorite.
Yeah.
I was in awe by Taxi Driver. Like, I mean, there's a lot of movies like
that.
Yeah,
there's bits and pieces there. But, no, I mean, that's the whole thing. That's why I'm in this game in the first place, is just to get a few moments of being like, ha ha, awesome. Mm-hmm. Usually the awesome ones are my favorite. I'll admit that. There are the, oh, that's interesting, or the that's funny. I mean, the humor ones are big.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of predict it to a degree. Like, I know what I think is what I'm going to find funny, but you don't always know. You know, like, if I ever get a chance to meet Jackson Public and Doc Hammer, I'm just basically going to tell them the decal joke for the shrink ray gun, top 10 right there.
I thought you were going to just tell me that you were going to get on your knees and start blowing them both.
Well, because you always go with gay humor as a quick way to just kind of deflect
more,
things.
It just seems more light, more light.
Well, it's the people's choice sort of humor.
Then you
it?
Very coolly go on.
Yes.
Top 10. Doing like winking
with cool, yes.
Cool badass.
Because I'm cool. I'm a cool.
And then you start away
do.
Walking 100.
Do you think that Eastwood got a little snub this year? His
yeah,
last
majorly
picture
snubbed. Yeah. He should have got a best actor nomination. Brad Pitt should not have gotten a best actor
nomination.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's fucking retarded.
This is gonna kill Eastwood. I hope the Academy knows this. It's gonna kill him.
Maybe they
you don't. Did this to me, and then he falls over
the real,
dead.
No, the real question is, you got to wonder if he actually pissed some people off in the Academy, or if they just don't want to like acknowledge this kind of film. Or,
sometimes I wonder about this. You know, they love their own because they're whatever, but
they're outliers.
People's politics. Clint Eastwood is a
libertarian. He's a live and let live.
He's a libertarian, but he's a Republican, and people don't like to even say that word, really.
Mm-hmm. No one does.
Despite you loved Million Dollar Baby, uh-huh. which won Best Picture because it's a liberal thing. You know, I mean, you know what it's about, right? It's about Right to Die stuff.
Wait, Liberty,
Hellboy 2?
What do you say? Gone Baby
top?
Gone?
Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Would that be in your top?
I don't know.
But that's not necessarily... Well, okay.
No, yeah. but it takes a very liberal bent with it. But that's so rare from him. Everything else is like... Basically, what his movies come down to, Gran Torino is the same way as like Unforgiven and stuff like that, which is...
Unforgiven was great because it was all seen as this anti-fascism thing. It was viewed in the context of the LA riots.
But it's not just that. It's that
police brutality.
Is that somebody ends up going and kicking some ass at the end.
Oh, God.
Because somebody's got to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's a really Republican thing. That's a more conservative thing, especially when it comes to foreign policy and stuff like that. Like... You know what? This has gone on long enough. I'm just going to go end this. You can hate me if you want, but I'm going to go end this. That's what he takes. Like he builds up a whole
Callahan.
Movie. Exactly. He Every builds Callahan. Up a whole movie toward ending it with none of you jerks are going to do this. Fine, I'll go do it. You can hate me later. And then he goes and kills some people or whatever.
That's
awesome.
Did you see Magnumforce yet?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh my god. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
As many times
I think I've seen
The
Dark Knight like 5 times in theaters or 4.
Don't you like have a place that you keep those that isn't in your wallet?
No, he was actually when I called him.
Once earlier, I get him to fill.
This is actually funny. I called Blaine earlier. I'm like, Blaine, what are you doing? He's like, sorting through my movie tickets.
Definitely.
I'm excited about 2009. I'll tell you.
What about Bolt? That movie was great. I've seen it twice.
Watchmen's coming. Star Trek's coming.
Star Trek. Watchmen.
What else? Great. Transformers 2 is coming. Are you excited? Are you feeling it?
I am, actually.
There's some other stuff, too, right?
There's other things.
I don't
things.
Remember what. It's going to be awesome. What.
Yeah.
Oh, the Tarantino, Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Basterds. With Brad Pitt being too cool to have any concern about anything.
But he's going to be saying lines this time. He's not going to be going, that's interesting. Let me dip it up. Sorry, cut you off.
Yeah.
And also, what's coming out is that awesome, it's got to be awesome, that Sylvester Stallone...
Oh, yeah. What's it called? It's
the
got a super badass name.
The Expendables. Yeah. You've heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about
Have
this?
Have you seen the picture? Did you see the picture I was talking about?
Oh, yeah, with his the vans and stuff.
It was great.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at
Sylvester Stallone is like 69 years old.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He looks terrible.
No, he looks incredible.
It's true.
I don't think I'm going to edit this one at all. I'm just going to put it as a bulk.
Oh, the Expendables, eh?
A bulk cast.
Instead of looking like a disgusting chunk of rock, like in Rambo, mm-hmm. he looks like old him again, except for he's,
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's a bad guy. Oh, G.I. Joe.
That's great. G.I. Joe's coming out? Was that kid?
Wait, is that real?
Yeah, those are the identifications.
Oh, my God.
With that kid
that
you
looks
like?
So awful.
Oh, it's Arnold Vosloo. Isn't it? Is that Arnold Vosloo?
Yes,
name
it
is.
Zartan.
It's the mummy.
He's Zartan?
Yeah, the mummy is Zartan.
Who's Serpentor?
I don't know if Serpentor
is. Oh my god, that looks so bad.
Dragon Ball Z is coming out? Dude, you forgot about DBZ, Dragon Ball Z, or just Dragon Ball, or whatever they're calling it now at this point. Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
I forgot that movie even existed.
Yeah. When's Voltron going to come out? I've been hearing about a Voltron live action for a while. It's the only one of those properties I would care about. That and maybe Macross. Macross could be cool.
Oh, Jetty's in it.
Related stories. Try that.
Related stories.
This is good podcasting right here. What's the premise?
The premise is an expendable team hired to do jobs no one else can or will, who are sent to infiltrate a South American country to overthrow the ruthless dictator and liberate the country.
Watchmen will be an interesting one. I'm trepidatious about where that's going to go.
Because you're hoping it's not too liberal.
It's going to go straight.
No, I mean, I know. If it's faithful to the story, then it will be kind of.
Well, everything but the ending.
Really?
Yeah.
That's out there that the ending is different?
I
thought the ending was bad in the book. I thought
They don't have the monster.
I thought that it was just
something like that.
It was sort of an unsatisfactory
ending. I love the ending.
But I didn't like. You know what I mean? It's like not a good ending, but it's a correct ending, I guess. It's an Alan Moore type of ending.
Hopefully they just adapt it and make it better.
I'm excited for Star Trek, and I think I'll actually enjoy it if for no other reason than in the trailer. They show at one point that they come out of warp right into the middle of a battle. And that's all I've ever wanted from Star Trek, is to actually have some real fights, some real space battles.